It is Way of the Warrior, your MMA show, episode 286 that Ken has been tweeting about all week because he only wants to talk about one thing.
Can we say boner on the show?
Too late. We're already there. So that is what the show will be about, apparently. And as an interesting fun game, if you type into Google, do UFC fighters, and then just let Google fill it in, boner will be in the top two. So you're not the only one who wonders about those things. It is Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
Yeah. Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
It's all over.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Full mount, here's some ground and pound by Nogueira.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric Hallgren, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. And it's one of those rare weeks where we have no fight forthcoming. That will be next week. So
don't we want to talk about the big Conor McGregor Mayweather fight possibly happening after the Ronda Rousey Mayweather fight?
Yeah, Mayweather has nothing to worry about. He's got plenty. I mean, I don't know what the boxing world's mad about. He's got plenty of people to fight at this point.
A lot of people want to get in the cage with him, in the ring with him at this point.
But we did have a very exciting, albeit I think maybe not super well watched event this past weekend that has some huge ramifications. Glover and OSP were the headlining fight as we had UFC Fight Night. Glover Teixeira and Ovince St. Preux. Why is that important? Well, because Glover, coming off that terrible loss to Phil Davis, apparently got everything on track and absolutely straight murdered Ovince St. Preux until finally finishing him in the third round via RNC.
Is this Glover Teixeira is back, or is this Ovince St. Preux isn't as good as we thought?
Well, I think, and I would...
those are the only two possibilities.
Those are the only two possibilities. Here's what I would say. I would say that Ovince St. Preux is a super athletic guy with a ton of potential, but he needs to figure out how to move that frame around. You know, we've talked about this a lot with many of the fighters that look like that. When they're all jacked up and shredded like that, that's a lot of oxygen to get into those muscles to keep them going. And as we get into...
Well, especially as a light heavy. He's not even a heavyweight where he can naturally kind of land in a muscular frame like a Brock Lesnar.
Sure, but I mean, you have the same problem with Yoel Romero. A lot of people are thinking Yoel Romero and Weidman will be a great fight. Well, let me tell you that Weidman will just drag him into round three and do what he wants with him, because Yoel is another guy with a huge frame, especially at 185, to get, you know, the blood into those muscles so that you still can snap with those punches. He had a great opportunity, which comes off of the inadvertent groin kick. He nails Glover in the groin and then immediately upon separation kills Glover with that body kick and had an opportunity to end the fight. Couldn't. Glover scrambled.
That was a little bit sketchy. I mean, totally legal. But you hit a guy right in the body after you hit him in the groin?
Sure. I mean, we can have that debate if you wanted to.
But I mean, Glover needs to take his time, too, if he wants to take more time there.
Yes. Glover needs to take his time, and then he needs to pay attention that, again, protect yourself at all times. Like, this, we're fighting. It's not, there's not mm-hmm. They're not putting you back in the corners, then Bruce Buffer coming back out when that happens and reintroducing it. You're mm-hmm. still in the middle of the fight. So that was the one shot that OSP had, and Glover on the ground was absolutely dominant all over OSP, and then, like I said, ends up finishing him with rear naked choke.
Well, here's the interesting thing you said, though, and I was listening, and I know it feels like an up-and-comer, and it feels like a dude that has kind of been working his way through the ranks that you've been excited about for a while. You said ton of potential. Guy's 32. I mean, OSP...
You can still have potential and be old.
Right.
Like,
not really.
I mean, like, you just didn't capitalize on it, right? Like, here's a highly athletic guy with a ton of potential that just...
So it may go untapped at this point.
Yeah, I'm not saying... Look, I'm not saying he can turn the corner and be a title contender. I'm also...
But I think that's what we were saying just 2 to 3 years ago.
Sure. Well, when he came out of Strikeforce, I know myself and Paul Cecchini was on the show at the time. Mm-hmm. We were super fired up about what was going to happen. And you and I this past year have talked ad nauseum about there's clearly this huge, huge chasm between everybody else and UFC fighters. Like, these guys, some mm-hmm. guys make the jump from Strikeforce to Bellator over and have lots of success, and other guys struggle a lot. And that's not to say that Ovince looked bad, but Ovince looked every bit Neil Magny to Damian Maia when Glover got on top of him and just went to mount at at ease.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think, too, it's an interesting dynamic here to kind of look at Glover Teixeira, because, I mean, it wasn't too long ago, and I know he took that rough loss against Phil Davis, it wasn't too long ago that we were making our list of reasons that we tend to make, especially when we had guys like John Jones, or when we had guys like Anderson Silva, who we'll talk about later.
Sure.
Yes. When we had guys like that, every time we looked at their opponents, we'd say, oh, here's why this guy can probably beat him. He might have this, 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 and this. And if you'll remember back when he fought John Jones, I think it was a little over a year ago now. I think, wasn't it summer of last year?
I think you're right,
maybe,
yeah,
early summer. We were making that list. Well, Glover's got this. Glover's got this. Glover's got this. Glover still has all those things. He just happened to lose to John Jones, who most people think is the best fighter on the planet. Took a rough loss against Phil Davis.
Yep.
I'm not going to deny that. And, you know, that's still a rough loss. But, I mean, Glover's still the guy that hadn't lost a fight in, what, like 10 years up until he fought Anderson Silva last year.
Yep.
So that dude's a real deal, legit kind of guy. And he's a guy. What's very interesting about this light heavyweight division now is all bets are off. And I think Daniel Cormier is a great champion. He's still a guy, though, that lost to John Jones. And he's a guy that certainly seems more prone to being able to be beaten. I mean, he has a rough weight cut, and he's the champion. I'm not saying he can't do it. He's obviously done it many times. But it's always rough for him. So it's always a rough weight cut. That's always something he goes into a fight with. And there's always going to be some kind of vulnerability there, especially when a guy's got tools like Glover Teixeira. And, you know, this is a big win for Glover. Another fight or two, and we could, again, be talking about, well, he's a title contender.
Sure.
We're now at the point where John Jones is a non-factor. I know he pops up here and there in these MMA news bits we do. He's not in UFC right now. He's got to figure out what's going on there. He's got to get back in the cage and actually have a fight before he can be considered somebody in that division that's going to keep other people down. He's gone now. Glover Teixeira, I think, could have another run in him. Now, again, he's even older than...
He's what, 36?
35.
Gotcha.
He's 35. But again, you look at Daniel Cormier, and a great champion, you know. He's the guy, though, with certainly more vulnerability in that division than we've seen in a long time. And Glover's got to be a guy you think is in the mix now.
Yeah, but again, I mean, not to overlook Gustafson, because Gustafson is going to give Cormier some of the same problems that John Jones can give him, right? Because the length is going to be a problem.
Oh, for sure. And that's another reason, too. I mean, this might not be Cormier in 6 months.
Right, right.
This could be Gustafson Teixeira. This could be Gustafson... And a number of other dudes. I mean, that's what I'm saying about this division now. It's very interesting to see kind of where we're landing here with this light heavyweight division, because you've got a lot of possibilities right now. And, you know, Glover's right in there. I mean, he was a title contender less, you know, just about a year ago at this point. So there's no reason he couldn't be again if he can, you know, do this in another two fights, one or two fights. I think you're right back there.
Well,
because we're not going to see Gus DC 7. I don't get the feeling from this division right now, and maybe in 2 years I'll be entirely wrong. I don't get the feeling from this division right now we're going to see any of these extended rematches or trilogies with guys. Somebody's going to go in there, and somebody's probably going to win, and they're going to need the next dude up. And because Daniel Cormier is either going to run the dude out of gas because he can do it, or he's going to run into a guy that kind of that knocks him out like John Jones did. It's not going to be – I don't think we're going to see Gus DC 3 at any point. That's not a feeling I get from where these fighters in this division are lining up right now.
Given the fact that this division right now is the most – what I would call the most up in the air, I don't disagree with you. I think second only to heavyweight, because we really don't know.
But heavyweight, you know what guys are going to be there. I'm looking at light heavy right now, and I dug out the rankings. Any of those five dudes in the top could beat the champion and vice versa. I'm thinking at this point, I'll run them down. Anthony Johnson.
Sure.
Yeah, bad outing against DC, but I don't think anybody says that he couldn't go in and beat DC if there was a different fight,
yep,
on a different day. Gustafson, he's going to get the next shot. He could beat DC. DC could beat him. Ryan Bader. I know that there's been already some talk back and forth there. You know, he's a dude that could go back and forth and beat any of these other dudes, I think. Rashad Evans is sitting there. And I know Rashad hasn't fought in a long time. And he was always that dude, once he lost to John Jones, that was just on the peripheral and could never crack back in there. I mean, who wouldn't love to see a Rashad DC fight? I know they sit next to each other a lot on that UFC on Fox set. But
right,
man, that would be a great fight too. I mean, I'm looking at this division, and then you get down to OSP, who lost this past weekend at number 6. Man, I'll take any of those fights. Now, are they going to make as much money as a John Jones fight? Of course not. But, I mean, I'll take any of those fights at the championship level, and I will enjoy them. I've always enjoyed light heavy. That's always been a soft spot for me, obviously, going back to Tito and Chuck,
yeah,
and Randy and Vitor and everything that happened when we were kind of really getting into the sport years ago. So, you know, I'm looking at this division. That's a big win for Glover. I didn't realize until I just looked this up. I mean, he's up at 3 in that division now, too.
So would you put him against Bader? in the meantime?
Sure. Yeah. Sure, let's do that. Let's clear those two out. Because Bader's the one dude I look at, and I have a lot of respect for him. But he's that one dude I look at and go, I'm not sure I want him in a pay-per-view. So go ahead and put him against Glover. Let's figure that out. That dude can get a title shot then. And whoever it is, if it's Gus, if it's DC, or Anthony Johnson might be back in the mix. Who knows?
Right.
Let's get some of these guys in there. Because we look at a lot of these other divisions, and we either know the one or two guys. We don't think the champ's going to be beat. Or we have Conor McGregor. So, you know, that's kind of where we are. And I enjoyed this weekend's fights, not necessarily just for the fights on the card, but that main event kind of opened up a lot of possibilities, too.
Well, that one did, and then so did the second fight on the card, Amanda Nunes and Sarah McMahon, right? I think Amanda Nunes going in and just destroying Sarah McMahon.
You wrote beat the pants off
she
on her
did, well, because she did. I mean, you know, just going in there and destroying her. It's been interesting to see, even on UFC Tonight this week, that people are like, oh, yeah, you know that Miesha Tate 3 thing? That was a terrible idea. Let's start talking about this Amanda Nunes thing in December, because we haven't technically said anything for December 12th. I mean, I know we've got Aldo and McGregor mm-hmm. on a piece of paper, and we have a couple other fights we're going to talk about here in a minute that are set for UFC 194, not in Dallas, actually in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, will it be Miesha Tate? I don't know. But that was a performance that I think you put her in the mix, because not to beat a dead horse, but we've been talking about the Cyborg thing. And, you know,
we'll
continue to talk about it. But one of those things is, if you look at the people that watch Invicta on Fight Pass mm-hmm. and the people that saw Amanda Nunes beat Sarah McMahon, there's no comparison, mm-hmm. right? When you talk about, we're super excited about Cyborg, the MMA community is super excited about Cyborg.
Well, we will talk about that. I don't know if anybody's super excited about it.
But I think that that's a thing that people want to see. Rogan's comments aside, I think that's a thing that people would want to see.
Maybe. We'll get to that in the show. But I see exactly what you're saying in this case, where you've got what would supposedly be a wider audience. I'd be curious, though, to see these FS1 numbers. Because I'll be honest, I caught this fight on a replay.
But there's still a disparity. You would agree with that?
Oh, yeah. Between an Invicta Fight Pass card, certainly, yes. I will not argue that there. But I would say, you know, let's not make too much of these UFC events always, because I'm sure there were a lot of people that didn't see that light heavyweight fight live, the main event. So it's interesting.
Well, that's what I was saying. Like, I'm sure not a lot of people were jumping to tune into it, but mm-hmm. you missed out on a lot of amazing fights. You know,
yeah,
you either caught on a replay or whatever.
And I know you've been kicked out of the fraternity, but your friends that do the rankings seem to agree, because they decided to jump Amanda Nunes 3 spots. To kind of get her closer to, hey, why don't we have Ronda fight her? Well, she's in the top 4, and she hasn't beat her to death yet.
Well, and I think there's a discussion for that, because if you want to clear out the division, I think you need to put fresh people in there like this who are beating Olympians. Let's mm-hmm. remember, Sarah McMahon, regardless of your knowledge base on, you know, female MMA in the UFC, is an Olympian that mm-hmm. just got destroyed in a single round by a woman that maybe a lot of people have been sleeping on and just didn't know was even in the division.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm certainly agreeing with you there. It's going to be interesting here as we watch what happens with Ronda, as we watch what does or doesn't happen with Cyborg. I mean, we haven't gotten too much into it, because, I mean, Cyborg really went off in the past week since we've done the show.
Oh, just, I mean, over the weekend, you and I going back and forth, it's just been crazy.
She's gone insane. I get what she's doing, and you go back to that Chael Sonnen school. If you don't talk, you're not going to get the fight. But I certainly don't think on a factual basis there's a lot of people that are going to agree with any of these things she's saying. She's known for a long time that if she wants to fight Ronda Rousey, she's got to get to that weight. She lost all her leverage, and I posted this on our Facebook page when we were talking about this. She lost every bit of leverage when she popped for steroids in 2011.
Absolutely.
Now, at that point, if you'll remember, they were both champions of their divisions, and there was a lot of talk about them fighting in Strikeforce.
Yep.
Like, let's make this super fight, because, oh, crap, she beat Gina Carano. Let's not forget that either, remember? That mm-hmm. was, she destroyed Gina Carano, and they didn't know what to do at that point. So Ronda Rousey was maybe their savior. Ronda, at that point, had been talking about maybe doing a catchweight fight. But let's remember, ladies and gentlemen, that was 4 years ago. That was 4 years ago that happened. And she got busted for the steroids, obviously had to serve some suspension. And she came back in 2013 in Invicta, and all she's done is fight at 145. And all she's done while fighting at 145 is bitch about Ronda Rousey not wanting to fight her. And Ronda Rousey's coach came out this week and said, there's no effing way we're going to go up to fight her. There's no reason for Ronda to do that. Do you think Ronda needs to do that?
No, I think you and I will continue to be 100% in agreement on this.
Well, that's boring.
That is boring, but she doesn't need to go up. And I think if you look at just what happened last weekend, right? And we don't get into a lot of nerdy marketing stats when we talk on this show because it's not really what people tune in for. But I'll just bore you for a second. She got 1.5 million Instagram followers in 20 hours after that fight. Right?
Ronda Rousey?
Yeah, Ronda Rousey did, right? She doesn't need to go up because if you look at the Forbes list that came out this week, she was number 8 on the top 10 female athletes on the planet. She was 8 behind 6 tennis stars and Danica Patrick.
And I know tennis stars sounds – it's not that big in the U.S., but they make some bank in sponsorships across the globe.
No, I mean it's like soccer stars across the globe. Right? Like, I'm not disparaging tennis at all, but like
– For those who don't follow that, though, they – especially women's tennis.
Let me reset the table, right? Like – there aren't any other sort of athletes making that kind of money. You're a tennis player. You're the single most famous female driver on planet Earth, or the single most famous female combat sports athlete on planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at those numbers, she doesn't make that much money in the UFC compared to what she makes outside of the UFC. So yeah, if I'm her coach, I know that I'm going to make more money in my own biopic when it comes out next year. I know I'm going to make more money if Disney decides to make me Miss Marvel. I know I'm going to make more money with how many commercials were in that Fox Sports 1 card that were all her.
Mm-hmm.
It's Metro PCS and this video game, the Tai Chi Panda video game, and whatever else she's sponsoring. She's making so much money as a brand. It's an idiotic proposal for her to go up to 145 for all of the damage that would do if she loses.
Well, let's not forget the UFC is where this fight would take place. The UFC does not have a 145-pound women's division. They don't have it.
They do have a history of people that can't make weight for fights, though.
They do. And there's a lot of talk about Ronda in the early days, and her coach addressed this. I believe this was just yesterday as of the taping of the show. So, yeah, of course, Ronda, like when people come up and they're dominant, they fight up. And basically she would take fights up at 150, 155 because she was a female. And she was, mm-hmm. and secondly, she was very dominant. And anybody who's had a fighter come up, and I know Sean's talked about this on the show before, it's hard to get those guys fights. I know that when he was having fighters come up, and he's had a lot of success with getting guys in UFC, you get the fight, and you got to go fight a guy that's 170 and you're 145.
I want to say Kevin did just that. Kevin Lee did just that. Like, he took fights wherever he could just to continue to fight, knowing that he would like to land in the UFC at 155. However, I'll fight at 170 one day, 148 the next, just because I want to get fights and nobody will fight me.
And you're so good. And now multiply that by 100 because she's a woman.
Right.
So she's going to be that much better than almost every other female fighter. So, yeah, she was taking fights at 150 because she walks around at 148. Well, that's not a terrible cut. That's a very normal cut. In fact, for some dudes, that's a light cut.
Right.
Going down 13 pounds. So the fact that earlier in her career and when she was young and when she was doing judo, she fought heavier, has no bearing on where she is today. That's stupid. You don't. I'll say it. You don't understand this sport if you think where somebody fought 5 or 6 years ago is something they can just do now. I mean, that's silly. I mean, years ago, I remember you trained with George Gurgel. That dude was fighting at 180. I mean, he walked around, what, at 145? Just because back when he was fighting, the UFC didn't have that division.
Right.
He was on the Ultimate Fighter, I think, fighting
170.
170.
Like, yeah. Which is like,
that was like 30 pounds off of what he walked around at, essentially.
Right. Yeah.
The dude had to put rocks in his pants probably to make weight. I mean,
if you want to get in, you get in, right?
So,
but at no point, to end your analogy, at no point was his plan to fight at 185.
Right, exactly. Right? Like, let me just line up against Anderson Silva and Chael Sonnen here. No, and that was not Ronda's plan. Now, obviously, you know, some of that mentality probably still existed 4 years ago when this fight was in a real process of being talked about, because Ronda had cleaned out pretty much the Strikeforce division at that point. And Strikeforce had done a decent job at that point of promoting Gina Carano. So when Justino Cyborg beat her, okay, we've got something here. We could make a big fight for Strikeforce. Now, Ronda's in a different world at this point. Like you said, she's got all the endorsements. She's making the money. And if the UFC wants to promote a women's fight with Ronda Rousey, they want it to be a championship fight.
Sure.
Now, do they need the belt to promote a Ronda Rousey fight? No, but they need the belt if they want to keep that division viable at some point. Because if Ronda goes to 145 and you've got some steroided out cyborg beating her up and just leaving her and laying her to waste, which, you know, I don't know, depends on who you talk to, is a possibility simply because of that weight advantage. Because the other thing, too, if Ronda's coach is right, from what we're hearing, is Cyborg walks around at 170 something.
176, I think.
My God.
Right.
And she's cutting to 145.
Right.
So I see why she doesn't necessarily want to have to try to make that cut. But if she wants that fight with Ronda, the onus is on her at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you know what? It sucks. But you know what? You also cheated. So I'm not really feeling that bad for you. If this would have gone down in an entirely different way, and she would have never popped for steroids, I could have felt bad for her. Because we could have easily said, look, UFC went for the pretty girl, decided to make a division for her in Ronda Rousey, and they left this 145 division behind because they didn't like their champion. She never cheats. You know what? I could feel bad there. Because I think we would all agree. Because like Dana said, he created women's MMA in UFC for Ronda Rousey.
Yes, he did.
He did not get in the women's MMA business initially. He got in the Ronda Rousey business.
And then I would say lucked out with Johanna Jędrzejczyk.
Yes.
Kind of a very similar model of Ronda, who's annihilating everybody at 115.
Well, and you could have made a case at a certain point, like, okay, he left 145 behind because he didn't like champion, and that's not fair, and she got screwed out of her fight. But this whole game changes when she does steroids. And I get it. She's tested clean. She says she's off of them. Fine. But, I mean, nobody doubts the effect that this has when a man takes them and what that does to their body.
Sure.
God knows what it does to a female. And, you know, I'm not trying to question the Brazilian underground steroid community, but I don't know what their ethics are. So I don't know what she did or didn't have at that point. So I don't know what she's taken. I don't know what it's done to her. She certainly looks different than she did when she started fighting, if you look at the pictures. What do you do with that if you're Ronda's trainer? You tell her what he told her this week. There's no literally effing way she's going up in weight to fight you.
Well, and the other problem with this is, let's go to where, you know, your expertise lies. Okay, so if you're going to have this fight, you need to build a weight class around it, because what would be the point if they go up and there's only one fight? Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, we have a tough season. And we roll out all the 145ers into the house, 16 of them. 8 of them make it into the UFC. For the sake of easy math, we actually put 10 so we can round out the rankings, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to put Ronda Rousey versus Cyborg. And let's say you're 100% right. She gets beaten because of all of the things that Cyborg's a better Muay Thai practitioner. She's got a lot of weight on her. She did steroids and that had some sort of effect on her. She ends up winning. Then what's going to happen is Ronda is going to annihilate everybody else at 145 because that's what she did her entire career. And so you'll have this problem where we'll be right back to JDS Cain Velasquez. Like, how many times are these two going to fight? Because there isn't actually a division below them. And heavyweight is not what – I'm not making that reference. But in this case, it would very much be like 135. We said this last week. It is Miesha Tate, everybody else, and then leagues above all of them is Ronda Rousey.
Mm-hmm.
So from a business standpoint, it makes no sense to make another weight class when you don't have the business model to support it. And you've made an obvious strategic choice. I don't know what the thought process behind it is, but an obvious strategic choice – that you picked 115 and 135. You didn't go 115 and 125 to bring in a new crop of female fighters. You brought them in at 115 because you have some sort of thing that you're trying to do.
Right.
There's a 20-pound disparity between your two women's divisions.
Right.
So if you're going to do another division, it would make sense that it would be 55, which makes even less sense for Ronda to go up to 55.
Right. Well, and it makes less sense, too, because, I mean, you would have fighters available.
Of course,
but, I mean,
would.
Essentially,
would there be any good?
You're getting to the women's heavyweight at that point. I mean, and you know, I'm sure there's some fine fighters. There's some fine judo practitioners and some fine Olympians at that level that wrestle. But, I mean, at a certain point, the UFC is still a business. And as much as they're in the Ronda Rousey business, you know, Johanna Jędrzejczyk still sitting on Fight Pass.
Yep.
So take that for what you will. At this point, they're not going to put her in there against Cyborg, and I'm not even gonna be mad about it. And again, I went and grabbed Cyborg here. Her record, she's been fighting since she came back from the steroids, and she's done it every time in Invicta at 145. You can't do that four fights in, because I swear we heard last year, okay, now she's coming down. She's going to start working her way down. She's going
to
start working her way
down. The story you're referring to is that she was going to hit last December. Mm-hmm. She was going to take a fight at 35 and Invicta to prove that she did it.
Right.
Go up and defend her belt at 45 one other time, ditch the belt, fight Ronda at 35.
And what she's done is she stayed at 145 and fought 2 weeks ago.
Right.
At 145 and still. And good, she's a champion. She's an amazing champion. I don't know if anybody's going to stop her in Invicta. But you're still fighting at 145, so you calling out Ronda Rousey left and right doesn't do anything, because A, you're on Fight Pass. Again, if you, I think, you know, MMA fans, you said we want to see that fight. I don't know if I want to see that fight. I might agree with Joe Rogan there. What do you do here if you've got this woman that looks like a man beating your champion into a bloody heap because she outweighs her by 40 pounds?
Right.
I mean, and I get it. A lot of Frankie Edgar wouldn't turn down a fight. Okay, dude, I get it. I get it. But that's not the same thing in this instance.
But I would disagree. Frankie Edgar would turn down a fight against Chris Weidman. I promise you that. That's what you're talking about.
Yeah. But that's the example you're seeing.
But they're idiots. Frankie Edgar's not going to fight Chris Weidman. Sorry, guys, that's not a thing.
I mean, and that's essentially what you've got at this point when she's walking around as big as she is, and that's why maybe that's all she can do, because we talked about the plan. The plan clearly never happened. So I mean, maybe that's it for her, and she can't get down any lower. And the best way to make this fight now, well, I'm just going to keep talking. And I felt like Ronda engaged as much as she was going to a while ago.
Yeah,
her trainer basically shut it all down this week. Like, she can keep talking. She can send out all the memes she wants. We're not going up in weight.
Well,
there's no reason to.
Yeah, and I thought, like, on Saturday when she was using the Straight Outta Compton meme, I thought that was cute and kitschy. But as we are at the recording of the show 5 days later, it feels more like Wanderlei Silva. Like, we've gone off the crazy train, and you just need to, like, calm it down, because now you're just yelling louder. You're like,
yes.
You're like Brick from Anchorman. You're just yelling lamp and hoping somebody gives you a fight. And that's not going to happen. Get down to 35 and let's talk. That's what all 1,000 people on our Facebook page, that's all they ever say, is like, we'll see this when you do this following thing. Get to 35.
Well, she hasn't even made a catch weight. That's what I think is stupid about all the catch weight talk, too. She's barely made 145
every time she fights
an Invicta.
I'm aware.
So she's not even made a catch weight. Just make the weight and talk all you want. I mean, this is not really up for debate at this point. I mean, you've got such a lopsided power position here between her and Ronda that it's not even funny. Like, we could go back to talking about before GSP retired and Anderson Silva was surprised by Chris Weidman. There was that talk there, but they could never get it going because GSP did not want to go up unless he was going to stay up and stay up for a long time. And by that, I mean, he was willing to do the fight, but he had like we could go back and dig out the podcast. I want to say he had a 2 or 3 year plan on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And part of that plan was rescinding the belt that he had at the time to go up. So you can kind of make that comparison, I suppose, except in that regard, GSP and Anderson Silva were equals in drawing power, I think you could say.
Absolutely.
And pretty close. I mean, if you want to make an argument for one guy or the other, I'm not going to get into that with you. Right now, this drawing power, Ronda Rousey is the one on SportsCenter. Ronda Rousey is the one that people stayed in bars until 2 a.m. to watch 2 weeks ago. Ronda Rousey is the one that gets in movies. Ronda Rousey is the one who had her name brought up the very first time Floyd Mayweather's been on SportsCenter in a long time, because he needed to drum up pub for this fight because nobody's buying this Andre Berto fight.
Nobody cares about that fight.
So he goes on SportsCenter knowing that they're going to say Ronda Rousey's name, and he's going to have to deal with it because of all the talk that had happened. Not only did he go on SportsCenter and did they bring up what was said at the ESPYs, I don't know if you saw the visual. I linked it on our Facebook page, too. The visual cracked me up because they ask him the question, and then there's just a giant picture of Ronda Rousey in the Floyd Mayweather interview. And you and I have both been around that camp. That's probably one of the worst things you can do to Floyd Mayweather, is not have his picture up.
Sure.
Is to put anybody else's picture up. Hell, the dude's not that down with Muhammad Ali, according to his fighter rankings.
Right.
So to have her face giant on Floyd's first interview, that's the power she has right now in the discussion. And we don't have to get into the Ronda versus Mayweather thing again, although Conor McGregor apparently thinks she'd take him out no problem.
Right.
Conor wants a piece, too, because he's a smart dude.
Yes.
So that's this drawing power. That's this leverage. And then over here, you've got Invicta Fight Pass Steroid Girl, if you really want to break it down to it.
Well, and that's, you know, that's why, you know, we've talked off air a million times when you're talking about competition, right? The idea is, you know, you're using Chael Sonnen, but the business strategy, the art of war strategy, is you never want to piss down, right? So mm-hmm. Cyborg's pissing up right now to try and get the mm-hmm. attention of the person who's got way more drawing power than her. Mm-hmm. Because Floyd is using that to sell this fight that nobody cares about because he understands promotion. Cyborg is doing it because she sees everybody else doing it, not really sure how to do it well. And at this point, I think this is a moot point, especially because you have essentially two fights on the line here that we can do that would eat up Ronda for 18 months,
mm-hmm.
including the two movies, right? So you got 22 Mile, which I'm not really sure if 22 Mile was a catch, like a code name for the biopic, right? Or if it's an actual film, but she supposedly has two films and is in the works with, she wants to do Miss Marvel with Disney. Irrelevant at this point, but you've got Misha Tate and you've got Amanda Nunes, so we're done until you.
And
make...
we made a couple other fights too. I mean, if you wanna see some of these other fights in that division, she's won at this point. Let's not forget, she's won at this point so much that people will now tune in to see her take that arm in a minute.
Yep.
This wouldn't be backlash as if I'm going to go back to the GSP reference just because I already brought him up earlier. We started to see kind of some backlash. He was so dominant, but oh, he's going to win. Well. The way he won wasn't the best. I think he even said it this week. He was doing an interview. He goes, every fighter fought like me, fighting would be boring.
Right.
I'm just really good at this, and that's what I did. Well, there was a little backlash there. You and I might think she's outclassing and outmatching everybody, but if she's going in there and beating people up and pulling arms off in a minute, we're still going to keep watching.
Yeah.
There's no doubt in that. I'll watch that 6, 7, 8 more times before I get upset about the fact that she's outclassing everybody.
100%.
So you've got a lot of fights you could still make in that division and keep people interested just because of Ronda Rousey.
What I'm saying, you have two built-in stories right now.
You know, of course
Nunes destroys Sarah McMahon. Misha Tate is a different person than she was in 2013. Excuse me. Okay, we're done for the rest of 15 and the rest of 16 unless you make the weight.
Mm-hmm.
It's all on you now at this point.
And that's exactly it. She's got to make the weight. I mean, they're not going to put her in there. And I will give you this. For those of you that may be fans of Cyborg or think she's getting a raw deal, I do think the punitive effects of this steroid test for her are far worse than they would be for any man. And the punitive effects are simply because of the division she's in, the poster girl kind of mentality that the UFC has behind Ronda Rousey. Well deserved, by the way, Ronda Rousey. I'm not trying to take her accomplishments away from her by saying that. So I do think when a guy pops for steroids, Vitor Belfort made a lot of money, and hell, half of that money was on steroids, legal TRT at the time.
Right, yeah.
So I do think punitively she's seen a much bigger crush on her career than any male would ever see. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that she's a female fighter. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that we're still very uneasy in these situations about seeing somebody who looks kind of like a man maybe beating up a woman, especially when that's the most popular female fighter on the planet.
There is that. And then I'll also add in the fact that she's just making some really dumb management decisions. Like, you know that Dana White hates Tito Ortiz. So when you take Tito Ortiz to be your mouthpiece, you make that climb more difficult. Does the end justify the means? Does the punishment fit the crime? No, I'm with you 100%. It's been way more blown out of proportion, and she's paid for it way longer than she needed to.
And part of it is because she's paid for it because there's just that really one fight for her that could have made her a lot of money in the past, and she blew that fight with that test. And
yes.
If she doesn't make the weight, she'll never get that fight.
So I guess we'll wait and see if that's going to happen. But at this point, I think we can both agree that until she makes the weight, there's nothing more to talk about. But a ton of news this week, and we'll start with UFC 194. We have gotten a date. It is December 12th. It will be in Las Vegas, headlined by Aldo and McGregor. McGregor right now, who's a 2-1 favorite, Ken.
A
2-1 favorite.
After
that Mendez fight.
I would throw a lot of money at Aldo right now. If you're in Vegas.
Are you still on this Aldo's going to murder him?
I don't know if he's going to murder him, but man, 2-1? I've not seen anything like this for a dude like Conor McGregor in a long time.
A dude who has the belt versus a guy who won an interim one?
Right, exactly. I mean, those are insane numbers. It's because the Irish are pushing the numbers.
Right.
Because they're a betting people.
They are a betting
and
people.
And I can say that because I'm part Irish.
So what also is interesting, though, is UFC 189 was, of course, co-main evented by Rory McDonald.
I'm trying to figure out my bottom number I'd lay on that. Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt
you. Yeah, well, let me know.
I'm looking at the – man, we got to find a bookie.
We do.
I'm trying to find a bottom number.
DraftKings.com.
That's an amazing bet right there.
Yeah. So,
like, that's like you can take maybe one mortgage payment, one rent payment, whatever you got.
Sure.
put it on that.
Car payment, whatever.
I mean, you might be late, but I'm not saying it's a guarantee, but damn, 2-1.
I know. So it's 2-1 right now. We'll see what happens. Like I said, the co-main in UFC 189, which was McGregor's win over Chad Mendes, was, of course, Robbie Lawler and Rory McDonald. Rory said that that was one of the best times of his life in that crazy battle that they had for the ages. You will get another one in what GSP says is the most dangerous 170er that's currently in the UFC. Carlos Condit gets the nod. He will take on Robbie Lawler in the co-main event. And it appears... I believe that Woodley and Johnny Hendricks are also going to be on that card following this interesting model that they only have in 170, which is they always have multiple 170ers that could be contenders following around the champion just in case.
Well, I don't think it's a bad idea in this one.
No, I don't think it's a bad idea at all, but what I'm saying is...
Do you think this is too soon? And I know it's about that's, what are we, July to December, so it'll be 5 months. Man, I wouldn't blame Lawler for taking off like 8 to 10 months on this one.
I would not disagree with you that he doesn't need to come back this soon, but he's Robbie Lawler, and he's also, you know, as we were talking earlier in the segment, he's a little up in years. Mm-hmm. Certainly up in years if you'd call them fighting years.
Right.
Call them Shogun years, if you will, or Nogueira years.
Yeah.
So maybe being as busy as possible because you know that the twilight is coming. I don't know. But as we were just talking about a second ago, UFC 194 is the rumored place that Ronda will fight either Miesha Tate 3 or Amanda Nunes, depending on which one of those that they ink. So some very big fights coming up here in December.
I just want to make clear again on these 2-1 odds.
Yes.
You have a 2-1 underdog on a man who's not lost a championship fight in 6 years.
Unless you count the five that he was beaten by injury.
Okay, but that's a no play. I'm talking very gambling-esque. That's a no contest and that's a no play right there.
All right.
That one doesn't count. When he gets in the cage, he hasn't lost a championship. I'm not even going back to his winning streak. He hasn't lost a championship fight in 6 years. 2-1.
2-1.
Damn.
It's crazy. A couple other big pieces of news out this week. Verdum gets his first title defense. I know Ken was talking on Facebook that it looked like it might have been Fedor.
Well, I didn't say it looked like it was good. That's what Fedor was asking for, apparently, because
right.
They're crazy Russians in charge.
Well, I think he should have fought for the title. And I think everybody on Facebook agreed with you. But it turns out the actual first title defense will be a rematch against Cain Velasquez, which... We'll see what that ends up being looking like. I just think Verdum is one of those guys that has quietly morphed into this wrecking machine. And as much as I like Cain and I like Cain's opportunities here, I think Verdum is the guy to beat right now. And we'll have to see what happens with Cain Velasquez in this rematch. The other fight that they were talking about on Wednesday night that I thought was really interesting is Shogun, after that win over Lil Nog, is looking for his next thing. And they had two ideas. Shogun has called for the rematch with Rampage. But I guess Rich Franklin would like to take one more fight in the UFC. And I wanted to get your thoughts on Shogun Franklin, which...
Is that a fight that Franklin mentioned, or I don't have the backstory on
this. The backstory is he said he would like to take one more fight in the UFC. He's, you know, he's running 1FC. He's gotten the bug, you know, back and wants to kind of compete or two more times.
We talked about this a while ago. We thought if he found a money matchup, he would be interested. He wasn't going to be a dude that was going to Vanderlei Silva himself and just kind of take too many fights.
This story reiterates that he would like to fight maybe one more time. Like, I would like to take a fight.
See,
a la Hoist Gracie, Hughes.
I guess Shogun is not going to be a bad idea if that's what you're going to do. I don't think Rampage is a bad idea if that's what you're going to do. Are you talking Franklin Rampage? Because I like that fight.
It would be, well, Shogun was asking for the rematch with Rampage. But yeah, I mean, any one of these three guys, I guess, as I'm looking at it on the board.
What's he fighting at? Because he was at light, obviously, and couldn't, you know. And then he was fighting at 190 catch weights for a little bit.
Who, Franklin?
Franklin.
I don't know what he's going to fight at all.
Because I guess I'd have to see what he was going to fight at.
But
to
I would
figure
imagine,
out what fight.
Given his age and the time away from the cage, 205 would be the better choice.
See, but then I don't think those fights are a good idea for him. I think if he can make those dudes have to be at 185, which they both done. But
yeah.
I think he brings them to his level, so to speak.
But I guess when you're talking about, you know, you're talking a minute ago about bargaining chips. I think Shogun's the one in that equation that has the bargaining chip. Like, he doesn't have
really. I mean, Shogun
over Franklin, who's not even fighting.
Come on. Maybe is this just my bias? Is this my bias showing up? Because I just
well, no. I mean, I'm glad that you love Rich Franklin. He's a great guy, and I have no ill will for. But he's not even in the organization right now.
No. But I mean,
so I don't know how you show up and go, "That's cool. You want to fight me, dude?" Because but I don't care what weight it is. It's at 190.
Because
now.
You're one of those dudes that's coming back as like the legend, and he's going to fight one more time, Rich Franklin,
against another legend.
Right. I mean, this could be just my bias. I just think I'm not saying he's got a big. Leverage over Shogun, yeah, but I think if you want to get Franklin back in for a fight, he's definitely got some leverage there. I think Shogun Hua is a tough fight for him.
It's a very tough fight for him. I just don't. I know Franklin has because he doesn't need to take the fight, right? So he's got that negotiating.
That's
power.
What I mean.
I just think Shogun would probably not be the guy, in my opinion, that would want to go down. I think he would just want to stay at 205.
No, I think Shogun would definitely want to stay at 205 at this point. I mean, and that's another reason I think if Rich were to come in, I think he'd want to take it down. And Eric always does a lot of work, and then I kind of tear apart the boards as we're doing the show. Let's just erase Shogun. I put my hand up there and see Franklin Rampage.
That's a good fight, too.
That's a fun fight.
Yeah,
That's a fun fight right there, Franklin Rampage.
And, you know, one that obviously would, I think, could make, put a little bit of a positive shine on Rampage, bring back old Rampage, because mm-hmm. Franklin's skill set would match with Rampage is very well, so that fight would be fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where you wouldn't have some of those boring drubbing matches that Rampage has had in the past. That
we'll start to call them after the last show, those lag fights that look like everything's lagging during the fight.
Looks like you're doing it on a modem somewhere.
Like, what's happening? This fight's just kind of slow. And again, it'd be interesting to see because Rich Franklin's one of those dudes who's kind of from that old school that didn't necessarily ever lose it a whole lot. Now, I get it. It was Kung Lee, but that was a pretty impressive fight for him.
Oh, it was a great fight. Yeah, I mean, and obviously it didn't go the way that he wanted it to, but it was
so
a great
Rich
fight.
Is what now, like 40, 41 probably?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting. He just seems like
a
dude.
40, I think he's a year younger than me.
Which is really interesting when you think of the Silva fights. I think he's one of the dudes at that weight and that era that actually didn't take that much damage. And I know that sounds sort of insane to say because he took terrible damage from Anderson Silva.
It was quick damage.
It was quick damage and it was nose damage. It was
car crash damage.
It was kind of superficial.
Right.
So I mean, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see.
So we'll keep you posted on that. A couple of things to tackle before Ken gets to go full tilt here for a second. Travis Brown is still out of the UFC pending that investigation for domestic violence. As that investigation flushes itself out, you will figure out whether or not Travis Brown gets to return to the organization. And fresh off his destruction of Neil Magny, Damian Maia has a brutal, disgusting staph infection that you can see on his Instagram. If you would like to, I have not posted it because it grosses me out, but it's like a giant hole in his thigh. So we wish him the best on his recovery, but he will not be able to fight probably for the next 6 months. So he'll be out, which might slow down some of his momentum. So the reason that Ken actually showed up today is because all he wants to talk about is how erectile dysfunction can get you
Here's what I'm actually hearing, though. This is the interesting thing. I can't. Is this erectile dysfunction or is this like some weird penis enhancement drug? What is he saying?
Let me stop you on both of those.
Okay.
And say, you know that you're taking those things.
Mm-hmm.
Those are not things because none of them are things that you take like vitamins. You take them episodically to do the thing that you want to do. Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
So you know that you're taking this drug, whatever it is. I need a giant penis or my penis doesn't work. Pick which one it ends up being. Why does it take you then?
Well, I mean, works, because giant's worthless if it doesn't work.
Okay, so yeah, so.
Oh, I'm sorry, that was kind of rhetorical.
Right.
Go ahead.
So it's a three-tier system here, right? You either need it to be giant, you have it, it's giant, and it doesn't work, or you don't have it giant and you want it to work. One of those drugs he has taken for one of those ailments.
Hmm.
My question, and why I'm calling BS on this, is why did it take 8 months for them to go, oh, that's why we got popped. I'm sorry. We totally forgot about all the sex drugs I was taking.
The boner pills.
Sorry about that.
Forgot about all the sex. I mean, you're not going to necessarily divulge those immediately. Maybe he's waiting for them to work. That's why they kept delaying the hearings. It's like, I'll do the hearing once I have my Big Mac. You think
okay.
Burger King
all right.
is going to be mad about that all with his deal? Right. No.
Yeah, I don't.
Are you mad?
Am I mad? No, I just think it's a terrible excuse, and I don't understand the lag. You talk about lag time. I don't understand the lag time.
Hmm.
Because as I understand, your job as a fighter, or by proxy, the trainer that is training said fighter, it is your job to know all the things that are going in your body and what those things can or cannot do.
Oh, of course.
And for it to be 8 months for you to remember that you were taking, to quote you, you're taking boner pills seems preposterous to me, actually.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is insane, but it's fun. maybe he knew that's how the talk would devolve. It's like, well, if we throw boner pills out there, people aren't going to be able to stop talking about that.
Talking about boner pills.
So this is one show then today, one enhanced segment.
One larger than normal segment.
One enhanced segment today for the show. Thanks.
I'm glad that wasn't lost on you.
Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. So, I mean, what do you think? This is over, right? Like,
I don't know. We're still waiting for the hearing. He's got to show up next time, right?
Yeah, he has to. Well, I mean, there has to be.
Like, he's going to show up on the Steve Mazzagatti lets people poke other people's eyeballs out card.
Mazzagatti's going to get.
We should run these like cards now.
We should.
Like Mazzagatti versus fighter's eyeballs.
You and I have long said that if you are on the fence about ordering Fight Pass, this makes it well worth it.
I can tell you, I've watched more NSAC hearings on Fight Pass than I've watched fights
it's
on Fight
well
Pass.
Worth it. Well worth it. So that is currently what's going on with the greatest of all time.
Fair enough.
with his pills.
Oh, man.
As the story goes, whatever the sex enhancement drug did, he says that it was tainted, and that's why the test came back positive for metabolites that he should not have in his body, or should or doesn't have enough of.
Whatever. Is that why Chow went for that spinning back fist? Because he just had to knock it down, or... Wow. Was that a knee that actually finished Chow? That's what we need. Go dig up the footage. That's what I'm going to use my Fight Pass for today. Was it actually a knee back at that UFC with Anderson Silva and Chael Sonnen?
Boy.
We'll find out.
And on that
note. Next week on the show.
On that note, we will let you go. There is a fight next week. We'll talk all about it next week. As always, you can find us on Twitter or Facebook by searching WOW Show. It is Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show.